Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening Word of Eternal Life. And this is broadcasting from 89.9 FM station, the Good News station from Palm City, Florida. And have a blessed morning. And today I like to read a scripture verse. It says from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, it says that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come to your presence. We have this time to spend time from the word of God, the written word from you. We thank you for this opportunity. Speak to us from your heart, to our heart, and help us to divide this scripture. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. In the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. Now, the last week, I spoke about what Apostle Paul said, that he is not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the one which gives us eternal life. What is the gospel? Gospel is the good news about the salvation through God's only Son, Jesus Christ. And the salvation only comes by faith. Salvation cannot be achieved by your works or your good deeds or anything you can do. Because in the book of Isaiah, God said that already from thousands of years ago, God said, your good works are like ragged clothes. They are like dirty rags. There is nothing. You cannot stand before God. Even in the Old Testament, human by itself is not holy before God. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we are unholy people. We are unworthy people. We cannot stand before the most holy God. May I say this to you, our God, Yahweh or Jehovah, in whom all three persons of God exist, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three spirits, God, live together in one unity. Praise God. And the Father is the owner, and he is the head of the house. Like how, why God give us this type of explanation. The way the human being understand God, the way the human being's family structure, the Father is the head of the house. The Son is the owner. He is the heir. He receives the wealth and whatever the Father owns, which is why, how the human family system is designed. In the times, the Middle Eastern culture, that Judaic culture, and later also in the Eastern countries like Christians, Judaic Christians, right? Because we have the Judaic background of the Torah and the Old Testament and prophets from where our Lord Jesus Christ came from. Through the prophets speaking that God sent his Son according to the scriptures. The scriptures already is talking about the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. First time in the book of Genesis chapter 3:15, there is the son of the woman or the child of the woman. Then it says he will crush the serpent's head. See, that is the main evangelism. The pro-evangelism was already declared that in time, in God's time, his son will come and take birth in this earth as a woman's child. The woman happened to be a virgin. According to Isaiah chapter 7:14, God reinstated that woman who is going to be delivering this baby of God's son, God's only son, is going to be a virgin who has never touched or shared her body physically with a man. She is as holy as her body is, preserved to be ready to receive the Son of God. That is what the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is all about. The Son of God entered the womb of Mary, as I explained before, times and times. Once again, it's a God thing. Only God in spirit form is able to perform that. A human being cannot perform that, entering the spiritually into the woman's womb and take the conception. And God, as he is the creator, Jesus Christ himself is the Son of God who lived in the Father from the beginning, which is unknown to us what the beginning is, which we call it eternity. And God was there forever and ever and ever, and he will be forever. Now, the sin is the subject. The Bible talks about the history of man, the creation, and all the things happened, how God was working through the human race, trying to send his son to deliver the humanity from the sins. This is what God was trying to do. And he was seeking a family, and he was looking, and finally he found a person named Abraham, and he chose him since he was a adoring person of God. He looked at the heavens and saw the galaxies, the stars and moons like we all see in the night. And he saw and he said, yes, these are a creations of Almighty God. There's only one God. The Mesopotamians, where Abraham lived, they were idol worshippers. They were looking at the heavens and they claimed these are all different gods. And from them, the Greeks picked it up, and the Egyptians picked it up, and they all started talking about the gods in heaven. As we all know, some of you, most of us, we studied, a little bit about the mythologies. In the mythology of Greek mythology, there are gods and goddesses in the heavens. Everything, they named them all. It was the Greek philosophers, as we all know, who gave the names, even the names of the days, from Sunday, Monday, all the way to Saturday. And every one of those names, they apply to one of those stars or the planets. So, however, they were ignorant about God, and they have named God, looking at all the galaxies. And by the way, Abraham, who believed God. As the generation of Noah, three sons of Noah, and Noah and his wife, and their three sons' wives, they escaped the flood, the great flood God sent to destroy the whole wide world earth. All the animals who breathed the air, they all died. Everything died out. Now, out of Noah's sons, Shem, there came in his generation one man in his generation. His name was Abraham. All the other people did not follow God. Bible doesn't talk about it. But Bible talks about another one person whose name was Job, who was somewhat near the contemporary of Abraham, somewhat. So other than that, we do not see another person who followed God. So here we see Abraham was chosen. God sent him, asked him to go to a country that he don't even know, and he followed him and believed him. And because Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. God declared him, Abraham is righteous by his faith and by faith alone. Now in the book of Romans, we read that again, by faith we received the salvation. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all the great men of God and women of God who have believed in God by faith, and those who saved their souls and spirit from eternal damnation by faith and faith alone. Jesus Christ is the object of the faith. Nothing else. No one else can save us from the sin, because sin has a power. See, if someone says, in my suggestion, I kind of know that in Islam, they don't do sin. Sin is not a list in the human life in Islam. They don't believe in sin, but they have to do good things. Good things, good things, good things, and they don't even know how much good things they have to know and they have to do. And they're not sure about the salvation. There is no confirmation. But our God, who is the God of all the people of the earth, if they believe it or not, or accepted the God or not, Jehovah, Jehovah, Yahweh, He is the only God. Why Yahweh? Yahweh is the word, or Jehovah is the word, which means a lot, a great God. It doesn't have no one can explain the meaning of it. All you can do is give detailed characteristics of God. His goodness, His mercy, His kindness, His protection, His covering, more than anything, His love for us. Yes, we sinned. God punished. He is the eternal judge. Now, some people think that they don't sin, but I wanted to ask them, do you think about, check your thinking, check your attitude, check every day how many times you thought about bad things, evil things, how many times you think about immorality, how many things about doing wrong things, and sometimes you didn't do it, sometimes you did it, and you are not exempted from the wrongdoing. Because sin rules the world. Sin is corrupted and it leads you. Every place you look, there is sin. In the television, there is immorality. Yeah? Why do you say it's immorality? Some people say, why don't we enjoy? Why can't we do some entertainment and enjoyment? Well, you have to do it in a godly way. God hates sin. Sexual sin, premarital sex is a sin according to God. Prostitution is a sin according to God. Jealous, hatred, murder. And this list of sin goes up and up and up. Hey, I don't bother anybody. I take my own business. I just do what I have to do, but I do things I like to do. Hey, my friend, many of the things you like to do, God don't like it. And if you test it with the word of God, which is the scripture, with the Bible, the author of the Bible is God himself. His Holy Spirit came into men, and the men who received the Holy Spirit of God received the message of God. And they wrote the scripture. There were 400 years it took for 40 plus people to complete the Bible. All these people were prophesying. They were receiving the message of God in their spirit. They were hearing it in the inside of their spiritual part of the body. Sometimes God speaks as you can hear from your ear. Most of the time God speaks straight to your heart. And now God speaks through His word, which was already spoken. And sometimes God will explain in detail of the same scripture which is written through the prophets of God or the preachers of God, that the Holy Spirit is still speaking the same scripture as we read and study to our hearts. Now Paul says, we talked about Paul in the last lecture, and Paul was an enemy of Christ, enemy of cross. He was an enemy of gospel of Jesus Christ because he was ignorant about it. See, he was a highly scholarly person. Today, sometimes he may get a couple of PhDs, but at the time he was a philosopher, which I have read in a textbook of Bible school. We have a historical facts of Paul's life. Here, there it said that he was educated in Athens, Greece. The place, the philosophers Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, and all the others were practicing and talking. And he was there and he studied under them. He studied the Torah and the Old Testament and the prophets under Elil Gamaliel, the elderly, greatest of all the scholars of Jewish theology, Bible theology, I would call it, or Old Testament, or the Word of God theology. He was a scholarly man, but he did not understand Jesus. Like today, I have many Jewish friends who does not understand Jesus. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who born according to the scriptures. From Genesis 3:15, fulfilled on him. Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled on him. His birth time fulfilled in Bethlehem as it was. He was the son of David in the lineage of David's dynasty. Even though the kingdom was demolished, there was no kingdom at the time. Now, it was not the time that God was appointing the next king. Let me say this to you, my Jewish friends. The next time God is appointing the king of Jews, it is going to be Jesus Christ, your Messiah and my Savior, and the Savior of all the Christians who follow him. He will be appointed, anointed on the throne of David. He will sit on the throne. His time is coming very soon, because he is going to return. Once he returns, he will take his what belong to him, his followers, the ardent followers. I would call the one who really believe in his death, his resurrection, and his virgin birth, and his ascension to heaven. And as he is sitting at the throne, right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for the world to be saved, and also interceding for the church, interceding for every sinners, interceding for every mistakes we commit. And Jesus Christ, he will come back after 7 years, after his next arrival. After the next arrival and the rapture of the saints happen, then there will be a 7 year tribulation, which I am always talking about. Some people do not think, oh, it won't happen. It is just a scary, you are scaring us. No, it's not. The word of God is fulfilling. It was fulfilled before and it's going to fulfill again. Every piece, every little word will not go away without fulfilling. Every single word Jesus Christ prophesied and all the prophets prophesied will be fulfilled. Now, the verse I read for the message of cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You see, God has a plan to save you, but you must have to believe in him. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. You see, he is talking in the point of view of a shepherd in Gospel of John chapter 15, chapter 10, where the shepherds needed guidance. Shepherd needed to lead the sheep. You see, the human shepherd, he lead the sheep, the real sheep, and those sheep need guidance. They need to be led. They need to be helped. They need to be led to the good pastures. They need to be led to the waterside where they can drink water. They need to be taken to a place where they can rest. You see, in Psalm 23, David, who was a shepherd boy, and he grew up as a shepherd boy, and he became the king of Israel. And he wrote the Psalm 23. It says, God is my shepherd. I shall not be want. See, no matter what happens to you, if Jesus is your good shepherd, he will guide you, he will teach you, he will direct you. Now, as I said, he will come to your heart. He speaks to you through the Holy Spirit of God, his Spirit and his Father's Spirit. Amen. They rest in you, guide you, and continue to lead you until his coming. So, for Paul, who once rejected the gospel, the one time he did not understand, he persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. But one day Christ met him. It was an encounter, the greatest of the encounter Paul has ever had. He met Christ. He met Christ who he said he is not the Christ. See, the Christ, the word means Savior. It's a salvation by Christ. Messiah, the word also is Savior. Jesus is also, the word says, Savior. If you read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 26, Jesus, the angel Gabriel, was giving a message to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. I am giving you a message. In short, I am saying this, that you, your wife, going to be wife. They were not wedded at the time. They were only engaged. They were betrothed, but they never were not sleeping together. In the holy culture of Judeo-Christian tradition, or I will call God's children, you will not sleep before the marriage together with your wife. You wait until it is legally bind that you are the husband and wife. So this was never happened. So they were waiting to get for the union. There you go. Mary got pregnant, conceived by the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned a lot of times before, it's a mystery that hard to understand for human hearts. God, who lived as a spirit, Jesus, with the Father, he took a dip from heaven. The angels did see it. Yes, they saw. He disappeared. He's not there in the heavens anymore. He was a spirit. Now, if someone argue, even the spirits have a shape as far as I'm concerned, I think God is a spirit. You don't have a physical shape like us. But same way, Christ lived as a spirit in the Father, and he gave up, gave him out. His delivery is a delivery, you know. A delivery means a person giving out a baby out of him or her. Now, man doesn't deliver, no. But I'm saying God as a spirit, amen, his spirit is united with the Son God, who has a spirit, he comes out. God let him go. He goes down in a spiritual form and becoming conceived in Mary's womb. A spirit can enter any place without no body. You don't need a body for a spirit to enter, right? When Jesus finally resurrected after the dead, he was able to go through the doors, was locked. The room was not open. The apostles were sitting and they were having discussion or prayer, or they were fearful or whatever. They were united. They were in a room. Jesus appeared in their middle. So that tells you spirit doesn't need a door to open for entering. So Jesus Christ, with that analogy, I am trying to understand that however Jesus took birth in Mary's womb is to be happened the same way. He has the ability as a becoming like tiniest, as a sperm entering into an egg, you know, a single cell organism. He came down and he became like that, a single cell organism, and he united in the mother's womb with the egg. Right? That's my scientific explanation. Look, I studied several years in including pharmacy and medicine, and I can tell you a lot of medical things. So in my medical mind, what I understand is, before I became a pastor, before I became called by God to be a full-time minister outside my church. See, I spoke in the church for many years, ever since I was a young boy. I grew up in the ministry, and I was supporting and working with pastors. And finally, one day God called me to be the preacher, go in the world and preach my gospel. That's why I came out. That's how I did this. I wouldn't go unless God called me. All the evangelists and pastors you hear, I believe that they all have the same calling. Now, Paul was called when he was ready to persecute and kill Christians. See, I've never tried to persecute and kill anybody. I wanted to be a good boy, good person, obedient, but I tried to be the best I can. But I was a sinner too. You were born as a sinner. You are the child of Adam and Eve. The Adam's gene running in you, no matter what age, culture, what place, what religion you have adopted, your parents, your forefathers, throughout the history of humankind, where you migrated, to wherever countries you go, wherever you were born, it does not matter. You're still the child of Adam and Eve. You know, the salvation, God decided. See, sometimes people question God. One way is there a God? The second thing is, if there is God, it's not his business to judge me. Yes, my friend, he owns everything. He owns you. He owns this earth. He owns this universe. See, tell me how everything was created. Not like the origin of species written by Darwin. No, he did not believe in God. You see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Darwin neglected God's word. He must have heard in England, because there were many preachers in England and London, and he probably did not listen. He refused to accept the living God. He went to the other way, opposite way. In Psalms 54, it says, the fool said there is no God. The fool says there is no God. You got to be smart, intelligent, a person. As God has created you with intelligence and ability to think. But if you are messed up in your thinking and you reject God, then there is no God at all. It's what you believe. Praise God. Amen. So whatever you believe is what goes ended up in your mind. So Darwin went ahead and studied the creatures, animals, and origins, and so many things. I too look up into sometimes what he is talking about. Because you want to know what was his findings. Amen. So you have to believe in God. See, faith comes from hearing the word, and believing is that you know God have made everything by his power.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions, or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491.